Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
And now for part two of my interview with Ivan Raiklin from Mike Lindell's Moment of Truth Summit. You're not going to want to miss it.
I think it's a slim...
For sliver that does.
So, were all these... Remember, the IG Horowitz is the longest-standing IG in the entire Intel ecosystem, right? The longest-standing IG... Deep state much? Possibly.
Very possible.
Right? Using that same line of logic that we just talked about?
Yep.
So is he there to expose the truth, or is he there to make it look like they're doing something in order to cover the bigger picture? I suspect it's to cover the bigger picture. And what is that bigger picture? So by the time 2016, right, we talked about rolls around, Crossfire Hurricane, Crossfire Razor are launched 2 weeks after Pence is out there. You think Pence knows nothing about this, considering that he served a decade on the Judiciary Committee, considering he probably helped staff the DHS that was just created under his watch as the Judiciary Chair? He provided oversight over the FBI. You don't think that him and his staff at the time when he served on the Judiciary didn't know whether or not... the spying was going on, considering that one of his early chiefs of staff, Joshua Pitcock, his wife, what's her name, Seaman?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I forgot her name.
Yeah, I can't remember her name, but I know who you're referring to.
The FBI?
Yeah.
And they were talking. I mean, it's not plausible to say that Mike Pence didn't know anything. What's more plausible is that Mike Pence knew, supervised, directed, and essentially said, you know what? We're going to provide you top cover. If we pull off the victory in November, James Comey, we will provide you top cover because the only officer in the entire government that the president cannot fire is who?
Vice President.
The vice president. And the only constitutional officer that can fire the president in conjunction with others in the cabinet is the vice president under the 25th Amendment,
yep.
Section 4.
Yep. Pence also responsible ultimately for the removal of Mike Pence from the Trump administration. Saying that
that's next.
Yes.
Because now we're moving into the election.
Yeah.
And then what happens? The unmasking, right?
Yes.
Remember the 39 people that unmasked Flynn's name?
Mm-hmm.
And then the notes later came out and said, are we here to fire or to catch him in a lie? What's the purpose of the interview on January 24th of General Flynn?
Yeah.
So who is behind removal of Flynn?
I mean, like I said, ultimately Mike Pence, but...
Well, we know about, like, the left side of the Uniparty.
Yeah.
Because that's all that faux news has been talking about, right? Is it to cover themselves, too?
Yes, absolutely.
Remember, good old Paul Ryan moved over to the board of faux news.
Mm-hmm.
And basically told Tucker, you can't talk about the illegal election. You can't talk about the clot shots until we make as much money as possible on them. So 2 weeks ago, they made as much money as possible on it. Now they have to kind of, like... throw us a bone, right?
Yeah.
To make it look like they're talking about it.
I noticed the other night somebody was filling in for Tucker, and he made some statements about the clot shot being like the most deadly thing to be hoisted upon mankind in the history.
They have to be brand ambassadors for the next thing, the tablets that they're promoting from the same company from the biggest on the clot shops. Let's go back, 2017, okay. January 24th. James Comey and Andrew McCabe send over Peter Strzok and Joe Pienka to interview General Flynn.
Yep.
You heard of that name, Joe Pienka the Third?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Why are you not interviewing him?
Joe Pienka?
Yeah.
I don't know how to get a hold of Joe Pienka. Is he doing interviews?
Why don't you make sure that he does an interview?
Okay. I will if I can try to get a hold of him. I never even considered that I could interview Joe Pienka.
Why? Are you able to interview anyone on the planet?
I suppose.
Do you really want to?
I suppose I could. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I just assumed that he was deep state, and there's no way he would go on my little podcast.
How about you try?
Okay, I will try to interview Joe Pianca.
How many FBI whistleblowers have we had in the last week?
Oh yeah, there's been like 29 or something crazy. Like,
why don't we add one more?
Okay, are you trying to tell me that you're in contact with Joe Pianca?
I'm not telling you that. I'm begging you to make sure that you create the framework so that you interview him.
I absolutely will. As soon as this interview is over, I'm going to see what I can
hear
do.
His side of the story.
Okay, yeah, that would be fascinating.
Now, will he say yes? Why don't you create the frame so that he does get to yes?
Okay, will do, will do.
And I'm asking every single other person listening to make sure that they create the frame to legally, lawfully, peacefully, patriotically, using critical thinking, to try to facilitate his story getting out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
In the most lawful, correct manner. Because America is starving for his side of the story.
Yeah.
And this is why, I think. The person that was the most masked and covered up during the investigations over the first 4 years of the spying on Trump was Joe Pianca III. I believe his name came out with an accidental non-redaction.
Yes, yes. Correct. I would love to speak to Joe Pianca.
You want to be banned off everything?
Yeah, do it.
I think you need to go ahead and do an interview with him.
Okay, I will. I will.
Because my guess, this is my analysis now. I suspect that in order to continue to mask him, remember who the judiciary chairman was that interviewed Strzok and Pianca, and they said that when they interviewed Flynn, he gave no indications of deception?
Yeah, I don't remember who the chairman was.
Oh. You heard of the name Lindsey Graham?
Lindsey Graham. Okay. Okay. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Now it's all. Yeah. It's
and
all coming.
Was on the judiciary. Oh, the guy from Iowa, Chuck Grassley.
Chuck Grassley. Okay.
How about we continue to have? Hey, Chuck. You're talking to all these whistleblowers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back a little bit. You know what? You're getting a little ahead of yourself. Let's go back and talk about your stuff with Joe Pianca. Okay. Now, FISA court. A little bit more context. I know this is deep dive, but. You're up for it based on what you already know.
I've done like 1,600 shows since 2018. So all of these things I have reported on at one time or another, and going through and doing that deep dive is very helpful because, you know, the speed of the news cycle, you just go from one thing to the next. So this is great.
So we go into the next thing. Who has oversight over the FISA court? And?
The Supreme Court Justice?
Well, let's think this through.
Okay.
It's a classified proceeding.
Oh, the intelligence community. Okay.
Senate Select Committee on Intelligence.
Yes.
Who is Who's the chair?
Oh, you'll have
of
to
the
tell
Senate
me.
Senate Select Committee on Intelligence at the time. A senator from North Carolina by the name of Richard Burr.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Total fan of Donald Trump, huh?
Yeah. No, not really.
Not much. So, going back to Allie Watkins, going back to her sleeping with the security director of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence,
mm-hmm.
The chair, they call it the chair was Burr, the vice chair, Mark Warner.
Okay. Yep. Mark Warner.
From Virginia. Where do we go with this? They knew about the Carter Page FISA.
Because of their position on the committee.
And the Woods procedure that was the supporting document to support that.
Okay.
Cash Patel, when you interview him again,
yeah,
please, you probably interviewed him.
I have interviewed him once, yes.
There's some things that I would like to have a conversation with Cash to get him. He's at the 90-plus percentile level. He's doing a lot of stuff. He's a great American. I think when we mash my notes with his notes, we get to 100%.
I would imagine you guys would have a great conversation, yeah.
So, I argue that the spying on the Trump campaign consisted of both sides of the aisle. My research and focus has been to identify whether who within the Republican Party was the one that did it in order to create the leverage that wasn't there to make sure that during the president's first term of the President Trump, he was in the box that they wanted him in. It's hard when you have 80 plus million people following you and you can circumvent everybody. So what do we do? Number one, Richard Burr, chair of the Intelligence Committee, you need to interview him and ask him his role. Everybody that's a journalist that ends up listening to this on our side, you got, why is he retiring? He needs to be interviewed. Why did all of a sudden the FBI come and talk to him and Kelly Loeffler about their legal trading?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Connect some of those dots. Was he potentially about to go in public or something? I don't know. So we got Richard Burr. We got Lindsey Graham. We've got Mitch McConnell. We have Mike Pence. I think those four are the key players in allowing, facilitating, and providing the necessary top cover to the DOJ, FBI, to be able to continue to spy and create leverage and start axing General Flynn to protect themselves. Because this goes back to 2016. General Flynn stays in more than 4 days or like a couple weeks. He's going to get to the bottom of who just did what in 2016. You got to remove him and anybody in that circle in the vicinity. So then 2017, what happens when... Probably ask the question, did Mike Pence, is he the one that teed up Robert Mueller to be the FBI director to Trump for him to appoint?
My understanding was that Robert Mueller came in asking for the FBI job again, and he couldn't serve because he had already gone over. And so then
who teed him up for that? Who do you think teed him up, Robert Mueller?
Special counsel?
No, no, to become the FBI director first.
Oh, I have no idea who would have brought him in.
Question that that's a million-dollar question. Remember, Mueller was under what? Clinton?
Clinton and Obama.
And Bush.
Oh, didn't he serve under Obama for a little bit?
He was the longest-serving FBI director, but the preponderance of his time was during Clinton and Bush.
But Obama, that was it. He was at his max with Clinton and Bush, and then Obama asked him to just hang out for a little bit because they didn't have somebody. I'm pretty certain. Maybe I'm wrong.
So let's fast forward. Yeah. If that's kind of where you were, and you're at the FBI, so minus, when I said longest serving, I think after J. Edgar.
Yes.
So Robert Mueller was deep stating much, right?
Yes.
So then he wants to come back in, because he's got a lot of leverage, right? Because he's got access to FISA and all this other stuff, political opponents.
And he was involved in Uranium One.
Check this out. I would suspect that maybe he was teed up by Pence and the Uniparty to continue that leverage, right? The Bunsen burner leverage.
Right, right.
You heard that analogy?
Absolutely.
Used by somebody at a speech in Dallas in December of last year?
No, I didn't see. I didn't hear that.
By the name of Patrick Byrne.
Okay. I mean, I can see Patrick saying it, but I didn't hear this particular one.
I recommend watching that and ask yourself the question of when did he cease working with those individuals that he talks about.
I have always assumed that Patrick was still on the payroll in some fashion or another. He's still active.
So, Trump basically says, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want you as my director of the FBI. I just fired Jim Comey. What happens the next day?
He becomes special counsel.
Yeah. Why?
Because
they need to have leverage over Donald J. Trump.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because they don't. So, the spying in 2016. Hey, Mike Pence, what's your role? Mitch McConnell, what was your role? Lindsey Graham, what was your role? Richard Burr, what was your role? Because guess what? As a member of the Gang of Eight, you know what the Gang of Eight is in Congress?
Yes.
Speaker? Minority Leader? Chair of the House Committee, Permanent Subcommittee on Intelligence, the ranking member of the House Permanent Subcommittee on Intelligence in the House, that's four, and then equivalents on the Senate side.
Yep.
So Chair, Vice Chair, Senate Select Committee, Vice Chair, Senate Select Committee, Majority Leader, Minority Leader. Those are the eight people that are briefed on the most sensitive overt action presidential finding activity within a statutory time frame of what's going on within the intelligence community. It's possible or not possible that they were briefed. It sounds like some may have been briefed, others may not have. When you dissect who those eight people were at the time, it was, who was it? Speaker of the House at the time of Mueller, initially. Paul Ryan?
Yeah, okay.
Paul Ryan. Minority Leader?
Yeah.
Pelosi?
Yep.
Chair of the of HPSI? Devin Nunes? Yes. The Vice? The Deputy?
Tell me.
Guy from California?
Oh, Adam Schiff.
Adam Schiff? On the Senate side, we talked about Burr, Warner, McConnell, Schumer.
Yeah.
Of those eight, there was only one that tried to get to the truth, and it was
Burr? Devin Nunes. Yeah, okay.
We need to question all the rest of them. Mm-hmm. We know where Devin's heart and loyalties, and based on his reports, lie.
Absolutely.
All the seven. How much did they know? Both aisles. Special counsel happens. That epically fails because nothing was found. It was just there to continue
hamstring.
To investigate until you can find something.
Yeah.
Guess what? They spent 2 years finding nothing.
Yeah. Tens of millions of dollars.
I'm surprised. Like, I was expecting them to find something on Trump. I didn't realize he was that clean.
See, I always thought that he was because,
dude's clean.
In order for him to be successful, I think that they would have known that they would have gone through his background with a fine tooth comb, anything that could possibly be there, you know, and that's why they are now finally focusing only on the taxes. You know, they just, Trump
they
CFO.
Didn't find anything, no. So they continue to ask Claire. So. Get some sound effects in the background. All right. So now we're up to 2019, the Mueller investigation. It's a dud because he's basically like Joseph Zhiden. On the verge of senility, mm-hmm. geriatric, Mueller, what is that called? Dementia.
Yep.
So he underperformed, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nothing. What happened the next day?
After announcement, there was nothing found?
Let's throw some names out there. Eric Ciaramella.
Oh, yeah, the whistleblower.
Alexander Vindman. His brother, Vindman. Andrew Bacaj, Mark Zayed. Remember these names?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the Ukraine call. Yep.
So check this out. Guess who? Who's Andrew Bacaj?
I don't know.
So Eric Ciaramella's two attorneys were Mark Zayed.
Yep.
Please do a deep dive.
I'm familiar with Mark Zayed. His Twitter account is a...
Please you him?
I don't think that Mark would do an interview with me.
Please interview Andrew Bacaj.
Okay, Andrew Bacaj.
Andrew Bacaj, please take a look and see, did he or did he not work for John Brennan at the CIA as an attorney, counsel?
Okay.
For John Brennan. And now all of a sudden he's one of the two attorneys for Eric Ciaramella.
Yeah, yeah.
Ukraine, Hunter Biden... Trump wants to find out what the corruption connection is there. What did they do? Oh, because you want to investigate our corruption, we're going to impeach you.
Boomerang, flip it around on him. Pure projection. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Chief Justice Roberts, what does he do? When Rand Paul asks him about Eric Ciaramella.
I don't know. Eric Ciaramella, he was like a protected citizen for the longest time, you know?
Rand Paul asked, like, what do you think about... Because each one of them were going to ask a question about something during the impeachment.
Yes.
And so Rand Paul took the bold maneuver and said, yeah, what about Eric Ciaramella? What do you think about him? Chief Justice Roberts, presiding over the first impeachment, says, oh, I can't read that question out loud.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember. Oh,
why not? How do you even know he's the whistleblower, Chief Justice? Intriguing.
Yes, yes.
You must have had some meetings.
Yeah, absolutely.
With John Brennan, with... every single person that I just mentioned. Otherwise, how would you know that that's the whistleblower? Because the way that the question was framed, it wasn't alluding that that was the whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
It was just asking the name of the whistleblower.
Right. Could have been anybody.
Think Chief Justice Roberts is in on it?
Absolutely.
By Bush?
Yeah.
Bush family loves Trump, don't they?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
much. Cheney family loves Trump, right?
Yep.
Not much.
Yep.
All right, so we're at 2019, 2020. Trump's having rallies. Tens of thousands of people. Unstoppable, right?
Yep.
This is just complete. I was in Virginia watching some of these rallies in 2016. It was like 2, 3, 5, 10x the level of support physically. So then what had to happen?
They had to take him out.
How?
through the stealing of the election. I mean, they implement the biological weapon known as COVID-19, and then they shut down the country, and then they implemented these illegal voting practices with universal mail-in ballots and drop boxes all over the place, Center for Civic Life.
Here's how I recommend countering the narrative of the faux news. Why don't you go ahead and take a look at the Intel Community Assessment on the Director of National Intelligence website. There's two of them. Again, in my personal private capacity, off duty from anything I may or may not be involved in,
yeah.
I take a look at those websites because it's for the whole world to see and hear. And in those two assessments, one is the origin. There's two of them, actually. There's an A and an updated version of the origins of the CCP-19. Lab leak much? Yes, that's one of the actual, that's the minority view hypothesis. However, it is one of the hypotheses that the faux news mainstream is like, no, nothing to see here. But now they're kind of getting forced into it.
Yeah.
That was originally. And the other one is foreign interference in an electoral system. Yeah, there's the assessment says it, but faux news doesn't. So that should be one of the good sources that should be used as we talk about this. I don't know why it's not here at this. Maybe it was. I just didn't.
There was a lot of stuff. Yes,
a lot of content. So, but that brings us into 2020, and once that leak is deployed, but again, it's a hypothesis that it was a lab leak. We don't know for sure. We're probably not going to find out because China's not going to let us in to do the forensics to do so, and maybe others in our system don't want that to be put out either, based on. When you take Rand Paul for what he says about his interviewing of Anthony Fauci and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like there may have been some money made on that deal. But remember who was jumping up and down like a kid in a candy store begging to be the CCP-19 task force lead? Who was that?
Well, I'm trying to think. Ralph Barrick, the guy from Eco Health Alliance, Peter Daszak.
Those are names in the ecosystem. Okay. But what? Let me be more precise in my question. Who at the White House was jumping up and down saying, "Mr. President Trump, me, pick me
Mike,
as the CCP-19.
Mike Pence, yeah.
Pick me as the CCP-19 task force lead.
Yeah.
Say his name again.
Yeah, Mike Pence. Yep.
Isn't that coincidental?
Yes, yes. And then he brought in Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx.
You see where I'm going with this?
Yep.
Did you make those dots?
Yeah, absolutely.
You connected those, right?
Yeah.
Now, let's go one step further.
Okay.
Who else was on the CCP-19 task force lead as a shadow leader? This is maybe where you have not.
I don't know this.
You heard of the name Jared?
Oh, Jared Kushner. Jared was on the task force? I wasn't aware of that.
And who's making decisions on all this money going to trying to buy PPE, the Defense Production Act stuff? There's a lot of money being allocated and decisions being made on these money flows.
Yeah. All the ventilators and stuff.
Ventilators. Base toilets. The PCR, the emergency use authorized products,
mm-hmm.
base toilets, PCR tests, and then what subsequently afterwards? The clot shots, right?
The clot shot itself.
Now, who are the biggest brand ambassadors in the United States promoting these emergencies?
Are you talking about like the pharmaceutical companies or?
Who has the biggest platforms and promote these?
I mean, besides the mainstream media?
Is Mike Pence standing right next to the guy he's handling every day?
Yes.
During the daily briefing to make sure that the message is...
Certainly. Certainly. Yeah.
Within the brand ambassador messaging?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean...
It's true, yes.
Isn't that what occurred?
Yeah,
was
exactly
everybody
it.
Watching? Isn't that a nice way to deploy, utilize a distribution channel to your advantage? To create the frame to 2 weeks to stop the spread as you're standing there?
With such broad shoulders, my President Trump, may I speak now?
Yeah.
Right? Mike Pence,
always
right?
Deferring, too. You know, it's like, I've always thought of Mike Pence as this, like, snake in the grass. Like, he constantly, the reason I never trusted him, because I didn't know that much about him until he became vice president, but could consistently close his eyes and not look at Donald Trump when they would be speaking. Like, they'd be together on stage, and he had this weird habit of, like, speaking with his eyes closed. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that, but...
I thought it was very unsettling. But
that's another discussion.
I digress.
Bottom line is, if you want to take a look at my thoughts, my original thoughts on Mike Pence, is it all surrounds a lot of questions that have never been answered, and that creates a lot of smoke. Read the long-form article from D.C.'s most trusted most trusted from both sides of the aisle, quasi-disinformation purveyor, starts with the letter P. I'm not talking about the compost. There's another one that talks about, like, stuff going on in Congress.
Okay.
And it ends in the letter O.
That is.
It's a big one.
Okay.
So, for now.
Starts with a P, ends with an O, based out of D.C. Congress loves it.
Yeah, I don't promote it.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. There's an LT in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. So, bottom line is, they did a long...
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
A form article about mother. Remember this? And Mike Pence's role when the Access Hollywood tape came out.
Oh, I don't know. What was his role?
The first attempted coup was being concocted by, remember those things by Paul Ryan and Mike Pence?
Yes. You know, are you referring to those emails that supposedly came out? Or different things?
Reportedly, yes.
Reportedly, okay. Now, I'm actually interested to get your thoughts on this, because the way that I saw them presented was through this, like, there was a website, okay, and it was like, you know, Pence Ryan, something like that. But it was built on Wix. I used to build websites, but it was built on Wix. Anybody could put that together,
right?
And it seemed a little unsophisticated for a coup to be taking place. However, the sentiment could certainly exist,
right? But in order to test that hypothesis, it would require a budding journalist, investigative podcaster, to go ahead and go down that rabbit hole and have an interview with Mike Pence.
Absolutely.
And have an interview with Paul Ryan to confirm whether or not that took place, along with all the other questions that we've basically created over the course of the last hour.
Yeah.
Right?
Certainly.
Now, that brings us into the lead of the CCP 19 task force, doling out with Jared Kushner behind, you know, right? Very few people in the movement are going to question Jared Kushner. I am one of them. Interview him.
Oh, I would love to,
on his role in that, because a lot of movements occurred. Now, in 2020, things were set into motion, not by the state legislatures, but by governors, secretaries of state, and courts in those states to change how folks were elected, right?
You
covered that, I'm sure, ad nauseum, considering you're here at this thing.
yes, absolutely.
At the Truth Summit. By the way, real plug, Mike Lindell, absolute patriot.
Yeah.
Like, he is the man right now. Yeah. Of the
MyPillow.com, code RP78.
Yeah, there you go. I need to go into it.
Dude, it's great. Yeah, people love them. My mom's always like, I got the slippers, I got the sheets, I got the whole shebang.
My son's like, I need a new pillow, Dad. I told him, hey, why don't you go ahead and talk to Mike today and ask him, what is your go-to make and model pillow that you sleep on from your inventory?
Right.
And he's like, that's the one that I'm going to get my dad to buy me.
That's great. That is so cool. I literally have, I only have one home now, but I used to be in two different states because I'm from Michigan. My fiance's from Ohio. And so we had my pillows on both of the beds, you know, four of them. And so I did like the step up, like the firmer ones and then the softer ones. Yeah, stacked them up.
I love it.
It's great.
So anyway, while he's selling good products here, mm-hmm. they're trying to sell these emergency use authorized products. Yes. And all roads lead to Mike Pence, as you can see based on my discussion, my analysis here. Yes. And so we fast forward. What do we see? They're essentially escalating, right? They're covering up, is the way I see it. They appoint John Durham. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And what is John Durham's role? What have we seen of substance him produce? And where are a couple questions to ask? And I think we're going to have some supposition. What is his mission? And who appointed him? Who facilitated for him to be appointed? There has to be some political infrastructure, right, that drove that. What are those names from your perspective?
Well, you know, John Durham was a U.S. attorney for a long time.
Who was he appointed by?
I don't know who he was initially appointed by. You'll have to tell me that one.
That's something that needs to be looked into.
Okay. I mean, certainly I know that he came into his role, you know, investigating Spygate as a special counsel. I mean, wouldn't that have been Jeff Sessions that appointed him?
Here's what I'll tell people. This is the cliffhanger, I guess.
Okay.
Take a look at John Durham. Well, I'm going to probably do that in a few days. We take a look at John Durham. We figure out who appointed him. We figure out where his loyalties lie. And we're probably going to find out that what? It's probably going to be consistent with everything we've said thus far.
God, I hope not.
He is there to protect the deep state's exposure to spying on the Trump campaign, but in a manner that gives a little bit to the people to do the Bunsen burner off-gassing, meaning they want to keep it short of a boil. When America's like almost at boil, they're like, hey, we got Sussman. We got a trial for Sussman. And everybody's like, in the movement, right? And
yeah.
On our side, like, yeah, we're going to get Sussman. What happened to Sussman?
Not guilty, even though he was totally guilty. But it was a D.C. jury. We've got Ivan coming up next. I mean, Igor Danchenko.
Ivan, thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
So then, all right. At the end of the day, what do? They go through the motions. Right?
Yep.
And then what happens at the end of the day? They can say, you know what? We tried. We did our best. It wasn't us. It was the people of D.C.
Yeah.
Fair and, you know, it was a fair trial.
Now what? The next one's in Delaware?
Next one's what?
Isn't it in Delaware?
It's calories being expended.
Yeah.
With no value to the judicial ecosystem. Like, there's no justice that's being done. And I'm going to argue that you're going to see more of that.
Okay.
All you're going to see is nothing. Now, Danchenko is probably going to be convicted, but guess what? Does he live in the U.S.?
I didn't know. I don't actually. I mean, he's a Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably not going to. Yeah.
Okay. It's like basically saying, hey, bro, here's your go to jail ticket.
Yep.
And you need to come. But we're only going to put you to jail when you come pick it up.
Sure.
And if you don't want to pick it up, I can't really do anything about it. Are you going to come pick it up?
No. So they can give him the harshest penalty possible.
The death penalty.
Yes.
And it's going to be like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Guess what? That pot smoker that's sitting in jail here in Russia, we're just going to keep her if you're going to push it.
Yep.
Right? Because they have leverage.
Absolutely. Russia has total leverage.
Over the pot smoker?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Brittany.
Basketball.
Yeah. That's totally a dude, but.
Yeah, the drug addict over there smoking. Violating laws left and right over in, you know, over there in a different jurisdiction. You'd have known, right? I guess.
Absolutely.
But they, I guess the Zhiden, you know, the failed vice president Zhiden, the current guy squatting in the White House, he is, I guess, supposedly trying to exchange the biggest weapons arms trafficker in the world from Russia in exchange for the drug addict.
The merchant of death.
Yeah. So crazy.
Yeah.
All right. 2020, 2021. We saw what happened. Pence certified in a legal election. That's where I come into play, right?
Okay.
This is going long, bro.
I was going to say, let me get some coffee.
We can do this on another episode on the 2021 piece.
Okay.
One thing I will pause to say about the illegal election is that, yep, I'm Ivan Pence Card Raiklin. I'm the guy that tweeted out a memo that Trump retweeted that ended up being essentially in the national conversation for, I guess, subsequently John Eastman to pick up on and create the legal framework on essentially explaining how Mike Pence could defend the U.S. Constitution. And he chose to misfeasance on December 23rd to do nothing, and then later on January 6th, due to malfeasance and straight up overt, blatant constitutional violations to secure what happened. January 6th was the facilitated unlawful entry into the Capitol in order to stop the objections of the six states to be aired uncensored on C-SPAN for the whole world to see, in order to be able to solidify the previous six-plus coups that had been failed attempts prior to that point.
Yes.
And they did it by facilitating the unlawful entry into the Capitol and are only prosecuting those individuals that were Trump supporters and those that participated in the coup on behalf of Speaker Pelosi, possibly Mitch McConnell, and their two sergeants-at-arms.
Yep.
Via Nancy Pelosi's son-in-law, Michael Voss, John Sullivan, Ray Epps, in the collective, and maybe some elements of the U.S. Capitol Police at the DNC and RNC diversion to see what we just saw. And then the media distribution arm of that, one of them was, several of them included the Communist News Network, the DNC, the mainstream DNC network, and who's the other one? There was one other one I was about to mention.
NBC, CNN.
The project that Liz Cheney associates her with.
Lincoln Project?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So those were the immediate disinformation purveyors in order to set the frame for the entire country to believe that it was a quote-unquote insurrection,
right,
when in fact it was a straight-up illegitimate, illegal coup d'etat. And I'm going to pause and say this. On January 5th, 147 House members, 12 U.S. senators, and growing by the minute in the morning of the 5th, had already publicly stated that they were going to object to at least a couple states, thus potentially putting us in a 12th Amendment option, contingent election, right? Which you've probably covered. You don't. That's at noon. Bowser and Pelosi are refusing Cash Patel's 20,000 troops. Chris Miller, right? Those guys. Putting out a statement that no Article 2 branch of government, law enforcement entities, DHS, DOJ, DOD, could be deployed in support of the Capitol without the permission of the D.C. mayor, and Pelosi. At that same time, John Sullivan is seen meeting with Michael Voss, son-in-law of Nancy Pelosi, at the W Hotel just north of Freedom Plaza in D.C.
Yeah.
What are they talking about?
Probably the Fed insurrection about to take place the next day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, John Sullivan is standing there right next to Ray Epps as he's saying, what, about tomorrow?
We're going to go inside the Capitol.
And at the same time Ray Epps is doing that, what's going on in the bushes at the DNC and the RNC?
Oh, we've got Antifa people jumping inside MAGA costumes.
No. Pipe bombs being placed.
Oh, pipe bombs, yes, at the DNC and the RNC. Yes, yes, yes. Any idea who did that? Well, we got to keep some stuff for the next time you come on the show. But you have an idea as to who did?
I'll say this. The sergeant-at-arms of the House, Paul Irving, on that day, was a sergeant-at-arms for Speaker Nancy Pelosi, where the joint session was taking place. The sergeant-at-arms is one of the three... Well, the House sergeant-at-arms is one of the three voting members on the Capitol Police Board.
Okay.
The other two are the Capitol Architect. Please interview that one.
Okay.
And the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, who is now deceased.
Yep.
The fourth member of the Capitol Police Board, who's not a voting member, is the U.S. Capitol Police Chief, Stephen Sun. The Capitol Police have jurisdiction over the area, which includes the DNC and RNC, where those pipe bombs were placed, concurrent jurisdiction with D.C. Metropolitan Police Department.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Those are the two entities that should be questioned about the investigation about the pipe bombs, not the FBI.
Okay.
They are the ones that provided the FBI with the content. FBI does not have jurisdiction over that area unless the Capitol Police or the D.C. Metro provides it to them.
Abdicated.
And they only provided what, according to Revolver News? One video.
Yeah.
The other one. You saw that, right?
Yes, I did see that, yeah. I was just, this is something that I've been considering, like filing a FOIA request for all the videos.
You can't.
Yeah.
So here's the Fed's direction. People are saying Fed. Yes, it's a Fed, but not an FBI Fed. Ray Epps, I don't think, is an FBI Fed. He's an agent asset for the House Sergeant-at-Arms or the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms.
Okay.
And Michael Voss was the cutout in communicating me to the Speaker or the Sergeant-at-Arms as the son-in-law and coordinating with the Don Sullivan and Ray Epps to conduct Ray Epps with the outer breach team, Don Sullivan and the inner breach team. So, well, the context of January 5th I just talked about occurred. The following day, that breach occurred on the 6th. What was going on the inside of the Capitol?
They were...
He showed me. Okay. And I want you to hear this while...
Okay. So they were getting ready to object.
They're getting ready. Let me just play some of this.
President Trump retweeted a memo from an individual named Ivan Reitling entitled Operation Pence Card. They called on the vice president to refuse the electoral college from certain states that had certified Joe Biden.
I will get this from your telegram and I will insert it into this point in the interview.
Right, absolutely. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
If you look at this J6 committee and rename it to the following, you're going to end everything.
Okay.
The J6 committee is the Mike Pence Presidential Campaign Committee that is being managed by his running mate, Liz Cheney.
Oh, Liz Cheney.
Does it now make sense?
Yeah, I was wondering what her next move was going to be. She kind of intimated that she was exploring some presidential options. And Mike Pence, since he started hosting events at the exact same time as Donald Trump and endorsing the candidates that, were running against Donald Trump's endorsements, I thought his next move was going to be running for president.
Oh, absolutely. I have details on that, too. Breaking it down.
All right.
So then we move on. And then, Mike Pence basically said states across the country conducted an election outside of.
Okay.
Right? He agreed to. He admitted that he violated the Constitution there. And then here, you need to put this video up at some point.
I will.
This essentially explains how Nancy Pelosi gavels in on January 6th and says only 11 members of the House, Republican Democrats, and 11 members of the Senate Democrats, Republicans, can participate in the joint session. The 12th Amendment talks about a two-thirds quorum.
Okay.
If you want to take a look.
Yes.
44 out of 435 is not a quorum.
No, it's not. No.
So what does that violate? The 12th Amendment and due process, because at 1:02 p.m., Mike Pence, remember that tweet?
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I'm the biggest toxic, feckless coward in the history of humanity, stone-cold simp," as Steve Bannon says.
Yep.
Right? Not my words. Like 99% of the country's words.
Mm-hmm.
Not mine. So Mike Pence says that, and he says, "I don't have unilateral authority to make a determination on the electors."
Right.
No one asked you to do that, bud.
Yeah.
Like, wake up. Like, and so what does he do 3 minutes later? He unilaterally denies over 90% of Congress from participating in the joint session.
Yeah.
Unilaterally.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he could say, "Well, it wasn't me. Nancy Pelosi teed it up for me, and I didn't know any better."
Sure.
Yeah, That's going to go well when we convict you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a Fifth Amendment violation, 12th Amendment violation. And then when the facilitated Fed's erection and unlawful entry into the Capitol happens, what does Mike Pence do? I'll tell you. In the interest of that, by the way, Congressman Griffith tried to stop it and say, "Hey, how are we supposed to participate in the joint session if only 44 of us can be here?"
Yeah.
That's like unconstitutional here. And you can watch the video. And then we talk about Ray Epps, right? Yeah, this video captures a lot of it. And so, according to Liz Cheney, she throws Mike Pence under the bus, thinking that she's making him into a savior. Listen to this.
Watch. Donald Trump never picked up the phone that day to order his administration. This is not ambiguous. He did not call the military. His Secretary of Defense received no order. He did not call his Attorney General. He did not talk to the Department of Homeland Security.
He was running the show.
Translation. Liz Cheney said that Donald Trump wasn't the one ordering the DOD, DOJ, and the DHS around on January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
It was Mike Pence.
Yes.
Under what authority was Mike Pence, as the vice president, not the commander in chief, ordering around those three departments to do? Like, under what authority?
Yeah, I don't believe it exists, does it?
Actually, there's one instance where it could have existed.
Okay.
And that's called the 25th Amendment, which Rod Rosenstein tried to work with Pence probably a couple times during the first term. And that 25th Amendment sounds eerily as follows in Section 4. Let's find that and read it so that everyone can understand it. 25, Section 4. Whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, which they haven't, so it's got to be the cabinet members, majority of the cabinet members, transmits to the president pro tempore of the Senate, at the time that would have been Chuck Grassley, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, which was Nancy Pelosi, their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, the vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office as acting president.
So are you saying that they stealth-activated the 25th Amendment without telling anybody? Good God dang. Oh, wow. Wow.
Let that marinate a little bit. Just let that sink in.
Yeah.
There are two options here. We all see Liz Cheney just threw him under the bus.
Yep.
In what way? Two ways. She either just proved that he committed treason, or that he just made the base so angry at him that there's no chance in any way possible for him to secure a nomination for presidency. Let's parse this.
Absolutely.
Number one, if he consummated, if the cabinet and Pence exercised the 25th Amendment Section 4, where is the memorialization of that?
That's because, yeah, yeah.
Because in that it says there has to be a memorandum transmitted, right?
Yes.
Written declaration. To the who? President pro tempore Chuck Grassley, please interview him, ask him this question. Where is that document? And number two, ask Nancy Pelosi. That's going to be a harder question, right? I think maybe Chuck Grassley would be like, you know, we don't have anything of the sort. If Chuck Grassley himself, even if Nancy Pelosi got the memo and Chuck Grassley did not, guess what? That does not meet the requirements of exercise of the removal of the presidency to give Vice President, failed Vice President Mike Pence, the ability to order around the DOD, the DOJ, and the DHS, according to Liz Cheney's statement at the J6 cover-up committee, also known as the Pence-Cheney Presidential Vice Presidential Campaign Committee for the Uniparty, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one option. What is that if they didn't have the authority?
Illegal.
But what kind of illegal is that?
Treason.
And what happens to the, what do you call, what's the noun for those that commit that verb?
Traitors.
And what happens, what is a result of...
Hung until their neck, until they're dead.
That's one option. What's another option?
Electric chair, I would say, what do they call it? Lethal injection. There's any number of different ways they
Depending
can put people
on
to
the
death.
State, this is going to be prosecuted in, right?
Yes.
Keep that in the back of your mind. That's one option. The other option is it was a clandestine, what did you call it?
Intelligence operation?
Clandestine 25th Amendment.
Stealth. I like stealth. Yeah. I like clandestine, both of them.
It was a stealth removal of the president.
Yep.
For how long?
Was
it just for a few hours? Or was it for the duration of...
rest of his
January
term.
January 20th.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, yeah, that would make sense. I mean, for a few hours, he certainly was, he was preoccupied with the events of what were taking place. And if it was only for a few hours, that would make sense why he didn't come out and speak immediately, because they had to essentially put him back into play.
Right, and what was he doing? Meaning Mike Pence later that evening. Wait, where did I find this? I don't think I have it in here. He was ordering the National Guard. Remember the video footage of him ordering the National Guard around? I don't think I have it here.
Okay.
But he was ordering the National Guard around, right? Again, that's the DOD, essentially, right? In D.C. anyway. And what was... Be careful here. You've heard what Kash Patel has been saying lately, right, on this front?
Yes.
The U.S. Capitol Police, the jurisdiction, the authority. Yes. So they, you know, the DOD did the maximum that they could do under the authority of the president, which was they can offer up the capability, but it has to be requested.
Right.
Guess who requested it? On six occasions requesting extra support for the protection of the Capitol on January 6th, a guy by the name of Chief Stephen Sun, the chief of the U.S. Capitol Police. From January 3rd to January 6th, he requested six times. Remember, he's one of the four people on the Capitol Board, Capitol Police Board. He is an ex officio member, meaning he cannot vote. He has to get approval from the Capitol architect, the two sergeants at arms, to be able to do anything of that sort. And those two sergeants at arms work for one for the Speaker, one for the Senate Majority Leader at the time, Mitch McConnell. The public statements were by Mayor Bowser and the Speaker and the Senate Sergeant at Arms, or excuse me, the House Sergeant at Arms, Paul Irving, was that they did not want, due to optics, they didn't want anybody on the Capitol grounds that may have, that they couldn't control, because guess what? How can you facilitate an unlawful entry into the Capitol if you're not controlling everything going on? It's a little bit more difficult.
Right.
One way to help out with that is to create a diversion over at the DNC and RNC, to deploy U.S. Capitol Police officers down there to make it even more sparse. Another thing is to say we don't want National Guard. We kind of want people to come in, because that's going to be brilliant maneuver, because we are not able to censor C-SPAN. Nancy Pelosi can censor with big tech because they're in their backyard. Can't censor C-SPAN, so we have to come up with another strategy. If this is what happened, absolute magnificent subversion, coup d'etat, very great maneuver in terms of planning. I'll give kudos to that. And it used the legal framework, because when you look at the jurisdictional limitation of the U.S. Capitol Police, it starts off at H and 3rd Northwest, it goes to H and 7th Northeast, which is north of the Union Station. I don't know how well you know D.C. And then you go down towards the Potomac, and it includes the National Park where the baseball teams play. Baseball team plays. And then it goes up and hooks back up around on the southwest, 3rd Street, all the way up to H and 3rd, which includes what? The DNC and the RNC. We got to ask the U.S. Capitol Police, the DNC and RNC security cameras, show us the evidence, show us the money, not the FBI. It's almost as though, like, hey, you FBI, here, you can take care of the discussion with the public, but we're not going to give you anything. So then the diversion continues. Now, January, going back to the 25th Amendment, basically, I just laid out how Mike Pence was guilty in violating the 12th Amendment, no quorum as the presiding officer. 5th Amendment due process, again, due to lack of quorum because it didn't go through the proper process. And then we went to the 25th Amendment because Liz Cheney just threw him under the bus. She just convicted him, which the people of Wyoming just convicted her, by the way, on Tuesday.
Right.
And same thing with Rusty Bowers in Arizona.
Yep.
So what happens next? What happens in West Palm Beach?
Mar-a-Lago. Oh, yeah, we just had the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago, yes.
This is where we're going to close, finally.
Okay.
That was your original question.
Wow, probably. That was, yeah. I completely forgot.
So, knowing what I just presented to you, and knowing who the individuals in the FBI were that participated in
Crossfire Hurricane,
Russia Gate, Crossfire Hurricane, Crossfire Razor, the Hillary Clinton stuff. When those names are being outed of those that are part of the raid onto Mar-a-Lago, when I saw Paul Sperry, Hear to him?
I follow Paul Sperry's work, yes. So I saw that he said the same agents that raided Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago are the same agents that were involved in Spygate.
Thank you, Paul, because it takes off a lot of the burden off of me of having to educate the country on what's going on.
Yep.
I can now take breaks because he's got a big following. I don't have to, like, put forth as much. Because it's difficult when you're, like, you kind of know stuff. You've connected the dots.
Yep.
I feel like it's an obligation. Like, we need to let people know if we're going to get this country back on track.
I agree.
And it's good folks like Paul Sperry, I mean, you, obviously, and others here are putting it out. And we're on the winning side. Problem is for them, let's put our threat or enemy hat on, if you will. Because they're a threat to our constitutional system.
Absolutely.
If you're in their shoes, what alternatives do you have? If what we're alleging, what we're putting together as assessments, right? If they were involved in all this corruption, and those individuals were part of it, what are their options to save face, to save their lives and career? Not lives, but careers.
I mean, I wouldn't think there would be much. I mean, they've already done everything that I can possibly imagine to destroy Donald Trump. And if it comes down to information that he took out that he still has yet to act upon or to publish, you know, there's nothing else you can do. Donald Trump, apparently he already let them into the House. Apparently he was already cooperating with them. Yes, yes.
Let's hit that. Yeah. In June, he let them in. It's probable that they looked at it, they inventoried it, and it wouldn't be a stretch to say that, ooh, it looks like he has all of the unredacted information that's relevant to implicating Mike Pence,
yep.
Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Richard Burr, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, Joe Pientka, the third.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Pientka, the third.
Yep.
Who else? Is that a good start?
That's a great start. You know, the list of names, you know.
Mark,
yeah.
Short.
Yeah, there's a lot on there.
Pitcock,
yep.
Nick Ayers, three chiefs of staff for Mike Pence,
mm-hmm.
Their spouse, Pitcock's spouse. And what do? When you see that they have stuff that's about to expose them, you have to do what thugs do.
Yeah.
Now, these are not my words. It seems as though as more and more people kind of see this, connect the dots, I think agree with my what the conclusion is essentially, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that conclusion that, again, I'm going to say these aren't my words, but the pretty much everybody that's probably listened to on this would label those individuals as domestic terrorists.
I think I agree with you.
And what do they do to project? What do they call moms that want normal education in their schools?
Yeah, they call them violent extremists and domestic terrorists. Yeah.
And so when we go back to 1908, when the Bureau of Investigation started, at what point did they stop doing that corrupt activity that we already are outlined from?
I think they have.
Hoover days.
I don't think they have. I think it's just continued on. They've evolved.
How do we stop it?
I don't know.
I do know.
You do know. Is that what we're talking about on the next show?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Ivan, it has been a pleasure having this conversation with you. I've got so many more questions, but I want...
I can go into deeper.
Yeah.
I can go into deeper 1 hour on each of those second spots.
Dude, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. All right, so
no, thanks for recognizing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, dude. It's exciting. It's really exciting. All right, so listen, tell everybody at home where they can find you. Obviously, I just joined your Telegram group, but do you have a Truth Social?
I have a Truth Social. I think if you go to probably the best thing to do is if you go to, what is that, Linktree?
Yeah, Linktree.
/ Raiklin, okay. Raiklin. And I have linked to all of the free speech platforms. So I got a Substack. I'm going to publish details on this,
yeah.
Right? I think because that's probably the proper venue because this is like real deep, heavy stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then so I have a Substack. I do a little on Locals, but I do Getter Live sometimes. And then Telegram's my main where I post mainly.
Okay.
But I probably need to start just focusing in on Substack and then linking it to all my other ones. But yes, I'm on Truth, Ivan Raiklin, Getter, Gab, all those other ones, right?
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I'm at RedPill78 on all those, so I will. You'll see me following you here now that I know where to find you. Okay, awesome, brother. Thanks again for being here.
All right, brother.